What if a single injection could repair a failing heart? This week, a Chinese study published in Nature Medicine reports that 90% of heart failure patients saw significant improvement from a new stem cell therapy. This isn't just a medical breakthrough, it's a new front in the global technology race. For Western companies, the question is no longer if this technology will reshape industries, but how fast. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a monumental shift in biotechnology, from the laboratory to the marketplace. First, we'll look at how gene therapies are moving past clinical trials to become major commercial products, generating tens of millions in quarterly revenue.
Then, we'll analyze the global race in stem cell technology. A major Chinese breakthrough in heart repair is going head-to-head with U.S.-led efforts in diseases like type 1 diabetes, creating a new competitive landscape.
And finally, we'll dive into the critical manufacturing backbone, the bioprinters, bioinks, and production partnerships that will determine who can actually deliver these advanced therapies at scale. Troy, let's start with the money. Gene therapy has been promising for years, but now it seems to be profitable.
It is. The clearest example is Vertex Pharmaceuticals' gene therapy, Casgevy. In Q2 2026, it reported sales of $76.4 million. That's a 78% increase quarter-over-quarter and a staggering 151% increase year-over-year.
And this isn't just for a handful of patients. What's driving that growth?
Scalability and access. The FDA just expanded Casgevy's approval to children age 2 and older with sickle cell disease and beta thalassemia. This opens the therapy to approximately 5,500 new pediatric patients in the U.S. alone. Vertex is building out a network of over 75 authorized treatment centers to deliver it.
So this is becoming a real distributed medical product. Is this a one-off success story?
Not at all. It's a trend. Look at Ultragenyx, which just received FDA accelerated approval for GeneGlucose, the first-ever gene therapy for a rare metabolic disorder, GSDIA. What's telling are the FDA's conditions, a mandatory 10-year post-marketing monitoring program.
A 10-year monitoring program sounds like a significant operational challenge. What does this commercial reality mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It means the game has changed. This is an opportunity for specialized contract manufacturing organizations, but also a threat. Ultragenyx is bringing its manufacturing in-house to ensure quality control and supply. This vertical integration is a major strategic move. If you can't handle complex AAV vector production and fill finish, you will be left behind.
And what about for trading companies and distributors?
They need to be thinking about a new category: ultra-cold chain logistics for living therapies. These aren't pills in a bottle. They require cryopreservation, validated shipping containers, and chain-of-custody tracking right to the treatment center. The Casgevy network of 75 centers is the blueprint for this new distribution model.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening now?
Immediately assess your advanced manufacturing and logistics capabilities. If you're in life sciences, is your cold chain ready for cellular products? Investors should look beyond the drug developers to the enabling companies, the specialized manufacturers and logistics providers building the essential infrastructure for this market.
Troy, let's pivot to the next major platform technology you flagged, induced pluripotent stem cells, or iPSCs. You mentioned a huge development out of China. First, what exactly are iPSCs?
In simple terms, they are created by taking an adult cell, like one from your skin, and reprogramming it back into a primitive stem-like state. From there, it can be coaxed into becoming any cell type in the body: a heart cell, a neuron, a pancreatic cell.
And the Chinese trial used them to create heart cells?
Correct. Researchers at Nanjing Drum Tower Hospital injected iPSC-derived heart muscle cells into patients with severe heart failure. The results, published in the top-tier journal Nature Medicine, were remarkable. After 12 months, 90% of patients showed significant improvement in cardiac function.
90% is an almost unheard-of success rate. How does this position China on the global stage?
It signals that China is a leader in the clinical application of this technology. Publishing a successful phase II trial in a journal like Nature Medicine is a direct statement to the West. They are moving from basic research to patient impact at an incredible pace.
How are U.S. and European firms responding?
They are also moving aggressively, but with different initial targets. Vertex, the same company behind Casgevy, is in a pivotal phase III trial for its iPSC-derived therapy, VX-880, for type 1 diabetes.
Early data showed 10 out of 12 patients achieved insulin independence. It's essentially a potential functional cure. We're also seeing BlueWalk Therapeutics advance its iPSC therapy for Parkinson's into phase 3.
For a European manufacturer, what's the key intelligence from this U.S.-China dynamic?
The global race to master iPSC manufacturing at scale is on. The Chinese have clinical proof, but the next challenge is consistent, cost-effective production under good manufacturing practices, or GMP. European firms with deep expertise in bioreactors, cell culture automation, and quality control systems are perfectly positioned to supply both U.S. and Chinese developers.
Is there a sourcing opportunity here for Western trading companies?
It's possible, but it comes with high risk due to differing regulatory standards and IP concerns. The more immediate opportunity for distributors is to partner with Western firms like Vertex and BlueRock. Their supply chains will be more predictable and aligned with FDA and EMA regulations.
What's the actionable insight here?
Executives must start scenario planning. What happens to the market for cardiovascular devices and drugs if a Chinese regenerative heart therapy is approved in Europe in the next 5 years? Begin tracking Chinese NMPA approvals and manufacturing alliances as closely as you follow the FDA.
Troy, these therapies are clearly the future, but they also sound incredibly difficult to produce. Let's talk about the enabling technologies, the tools for the biofactory.
This is the critical bottleneck and where the most intense innovation is happening. A key area is 3D bioprinting. A team at Penn State just laid the groundwork for 3D printing spheroids, small living clusters of genetically modified stem cells, to regenerate bone.
So they're not just printing a static scaffold, they're printing functional, living tissue components?
Exactly. And they're engineering these cell clusters to do two things at once: promote bone growth and trigger vascularization, which is the formation of new blood vessels. You need blood supply for any engineered tissue to survive and integrate. This breakthrough relies on the development of next-generation bioinks, the substance that carries the cells during printing.
Fascinating. And what other manufacturing technologies are coming online?
Exosome manufacturing is another one. Exosomes are tiny vesicles that cells use to communicate with each other. A company called Neuraxone Biologic just signed a partnership with Made Scientific to establish GMP-grade exosome manufacturing in the U.S. Their stated goal is to produce the first GMP batch by the first half of 2027. This is the industrialization of an entirely new therapeutic class.
For a U.S. or European manufacturer, what's the direct opportunity?
It's in supplying the high-precision equipment and the raw materials. The demand for advanced bioprinters, automated cell culture systems, and sophisticated analytical platforms is growing rapidly. On the material side, the market for GMP-grade bioinks, specialized cell culture media, and reagents is set to explode.
What should distributors and trading companies be focused on?
They should be focused on building expertise in sourcing and qualifying these new biological raw materials. Understanding the complex regulatory demands for GMP-grade components will become a competitive advantage. There's also a major service opportunity in providing third-party quality control and batch release testing for these products.
So the final actionable insight for our listeners?
Re-evaluate your life sciences supply chain now. The center of gravity is shifting from bulk chemicals to highly specialized, quality-controlled biologicals and advanced hardware. Look for strategic partnerships or acquisitions in areas like bioinks, lab automation, and bioanalytics. That is the picks and shovels play for the regenerative medicine gold rush.
Troy, an incredible amount of change this week. Can you distill it down into three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
Certainly. First, gene therapy is now a commercial reality. With products like Casgevy generating over $76 million a quarter, this is a real market with immediate complex supply chain needs. Western companies must master the logistics of living medicines or risk being left out.
Second,
the iPSC technology race is on, and it's global. The U.S. has leaders like Vertex, but China's breakthrough in heart repair is a serious wake-up call. Western firms can no longer assume leadership. They must secure their manufacturing and clinical execution advantages.
And your final point?
Manufacturing is the ultimate moat. Long term, the winners won't just have the best science. They will be the ones who can produce these complex therapies consistently, at scale, and cost effectively. For anyone in manufacturing, tech, or trading, the biggest opportunities lie in building the tools and supply chains for this new bio-industrial revolution.
A clear directive to focus on the industrialization of biology. Troy, thank you for your analysis.
My pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. To make sure you never miss an episode of Troy Technical Intelligence, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with more analysis of the technology developments shaping global industry. Thank you for listening.